Hello, fellow writers. The end of the year is a great time to look back at what filled you up in the past months. And for many of us, that's not just our writing, but the time we've spent helping others with their work. For some of us, that's come out in small ways, but for others, it's a calling and an opportunity to build a career doing work you love. Our sponsor, Author Accelerator, provides book coaching to authors, like me, but also needs and trains book coaches. And they'll be hosting a free book coaching summit in January for anyone who wants to learn more. If that's got your ears perked up, head to authoraccelerator.com/summit.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. I don't remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
I'm KJ Delantonia, and this is Hashtag AmWriting, the weekly podcast about writing all the things, be they fiction, nonfiction, short, long, any form you're interested in. This is the podcast about sitting down and getting your writing work done.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and the forthcoming The Addiction Inoculation. And you can find my work at lots of places, including the Washington Post and New York Times and The Atlantic.
And I'm Serena Bowen, author of 30 romance novels. And you can find more of my work at serenabowen.com.
And I'm KJ Delantonia, author of the novel The Chicken Sisters, which is sitting on my desk in the form of a large stack of paper for final copy edits, which is very exciting, and also of How to Be a Happier Parent, which is coming out in paperback this summer, but continues to be available in all the other formats until then.
KJ, are you looking at like actual galley pages, like the pretty ones with all the, you know, the little arrows on the corners and all the cool things? Oh, it's so exciting.
It is exciting, except they're not pretty. It's like a sort of a hideous stack of paper that, you know, barely survived its harrowing journey through the U.S. Postal Service and then got stuffed into a bag and propped up on my mailbox during a snowstorm. So it's kind of dilapidated already.
Before we get into our topic for today, can I give you, I made a really good discovery about dealing with manuscript pages. What I needed was a 3-ring binder. I've got, my manuscript, it's whatever, however many printed pages. My editor's assistant printed it out for me clean last time I was talking with my editor. And so I had this beautiful stack of papers that had a rubber band around them. And I needed a 3-ring binder. And I was looking through my stuff and I found the best 3-ring binder. It's really a box. And my son used it, my older son used it in a photography class because he had those like clear folders that you can put photographs in. So it's a binder, but it's a box that has little latches on the outside. So it not only is a 3-ring binder that holds onto your pages, but it actually encloses all sides in a box so that the pages can't get all mangled. And because I edit while I'm traveling, and I will be taking it with me this week, it's been so much better than a 3-ring binder because it doesn't allow the whole thing to get all crumpled. It's a really cool thing.
Very nice.
If I can find a link for one, he bought it ages ago, but if I can find a link for it, I will put it in the show notes for today.
Excellent. And it's a great place for it.
It is a great place.
In the show notes for today, because we have a topic today, and that topic is things our loved ones can buy us for the holidays.
This is like my favorite
episode. Our love language of the week is gifts.
Writer gifts. So if you Google writer gifts, what you will get are mugs and t-shirts, and we can do better than that. Some of the t-shirts are really good, but we can do better than those basic things that you get when you Google writer gifts for writers, because, you know, we like all the good stuff. We like all the props, the writer props. They're the best.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So who would like to go first?
What they'd like to get first?
Well, this is also this is really fun for me because your gifts, Serena and KJ, are included in my book gifts this year. So I essentially found things I thought you guys would like and then put them in my gifts for writers. So can I go first and start with Serena?
Go for it.
Sure.
Okay. So
my totally favorite method of ever picking a podcast topic is for you to bias things and then talk about them. All right, just have to change the podcast. Okay, never mind.
So the other fun thing is that because we're separate today, we're all in our own houses today, we're actually texting the pictures of the things to each other as we describe this. So I am currently texting the picture of what I'm going to talk about now so that they can see it. So this is something I got at Parnassus when we were in Nashville, and it is a book, out-of-print book product. And it's a beautiful baseball cap that says Book Nerd on it. And I wore my own Book Nerd hat on the way home, on the airplane on the way home from Nashville. And like 8 people said, oh my gosh, I need that hat. So I got one for Serena. So Serena, you now have a picture in your texts.
I see it. It's adorable.
And it looks like KJ gets to go next. Serena gets to go next.
Yeah, I sent you my picture also a wearable.
It's so good. Serena, tell people what I'm looking at.
Those are amazing. I had a couple pairs of custom socks made with the AmWriting logo on them. So they're bright yellow socks with the chicken with the pen in its mouth. And apparently, socks made to order are a thing now. And they came through my Instagram feed as, you know, as stuff does. And you can get like your cat's face.
I saw that one actually. That
right. Well, these socks came from a like cat's face company. But the thing about giving people socks who are authors is that Sock Sunday is like a big deal on Instagram, where the book world has basically taken over the Socks Sunday hashtag. So
cool. Teachers do it too.
Someone socks with their book cover on.
Yes, you could.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That is a good idea.
Book launch present. Oh, I love them. They're beautiful.
They are beautiful. Yeah. They're fantastic.
Yeah. Right, KJ, do you want to go next?
I'm a little bah humbuggy this year because I have a bad cold and a house full of junk.
Well, can I show you? Then I'll show you your present next so that you can
That will probably help. And then I will suggest some presents. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely show me another present for me. And I'll
Okay. So this looks weird in the picture, but I came across these when I was out shopping with my family. And what this is, and I hope you don't have one already, but you're the kind of person who might.
I don't, and I know what it is.
Okay.
How amazing is that?
It is a beanie, like just your basic, you know, Brooklyn hipster beanie. But attached to the front is a rechargeable light. So what you can do is, and I got one for myself as well for like going out at night and walking the dogs or doing whatever. And KJ often has to go out at night to deal with the horses or the chickens. Or whatever.
So this is a light, and it's red, which is
I happen to know a color KJ likes a lot. And you can pop the little light out, and you can stick it into your USB and into like a laptop or something, and recharge it. And not only that, I keep mine next to my bed, so I have to write something down in the middle of the night. I put my beanie on, and I hit the button, and then I only annoy my husband just a little bit in the middle of the night.
I love it. Thank you. And I might add that I have to go out at night and deal with animals every day now because night starts at 4:30.
Yes, that's true.
My whole evening feels at every day it's trailing out into the darkness to give things things and shut things in from other things. And I will enjoy doing it in a beanie so much more.
Well, and I usually keep a headlamp on my side of the bed, but headlamps, you have to change the battery and they're loud and da da da. So this thing you can just charge. While I will probably still use headlamps, this beanie makes me very happy.
All right. Well, I will throw out now a go-to gift, because this is a gift Serena happens to have given to me already. This is my total new favorite notebook. So this year, I will say we're all using the Lectern 1917 bullet journal that has a calendar space in the front of it. So it's got a monthly calendar in the front for stickering, and then in the back it's got dot bullet journal pages. And I do love it, but I was in need of a notebook in which to write things because my book that I was working on sort of imploded on me and I needed not to touch the laptop. I needed to put the laptop in a safe place somewhere where I wouldn't hurt it and just get a nice notebook out and a pen and then ensconce myself where I had nothing but the notebook and the pen and just think. And I spent about 3 weeks doing that in the company of my Piper, P-A-I-P-U-R, bullet journal that Serena gave me, and it just turned out to be the loveliest thing. The paper is so thick, there is no bleed through no matter what you use, and on one side you have lines and on the other side you have dots, which actually is turning out to be kind of fun for the kind of mad brainstorming that I am doing. This is like the kind of notes that you probably almost never go back to. It's just frantic. Why am I writing this? Why? And then a picture of a fox. Not because it doesn't have anything to do with that, but that's what's in this notebook. So anyway, I adore it, and it would make a really great present for a friend.
These notebooks, P-A-I-P-U-R, the gentleman who runs this company has his own website. And he also sells them on Amazon, and they are B5 size, which we really like. That's that composition size that, you know, we have so many of them. The paper is super thick, and the other thing is that every page is perforated, every single page.
Oh, nice. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones that we've been using, the Lectern, still, I think, is my favorite. I think it's a fantastic, it's harder to get. I don't know, Serena, if they have made them available in this country, but I know in the past we've had to get them through, like, Amazon UK. I'm not sure about that because you bought me the last one I had.
The notebooks that don't have a planner in them are widely available in this country, but the planner that we like is not so easy to find.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll make sure the link for that is up too.
You can get it off of Amazon now, the one we like.
Oh, okay, good.
It's more that it's hard to search than it is that it's hard to find because there are so many things with that name and then so many things trying to piggyback on it.
Right. Gotcha. So. And last year they did sell out, which is why we ended up getting Jess's from from Germany or somewhere.
Gotcha. Okay, so I get to go again, and both of you are getting the next picture I'm sending through, only because I purchased this for myself after oohing and aahing over it many times in a little store near my parents. Hold on one second. Okay, there we go. I hit send. All right, so there's this little store in Gloucester, Massachusetts that sells, we call it the Brush Store, and of course now I can't remember the name of it, but they sell like really cool imported like all kinds of brushes, any kind of brushes you would need for like cleaning things or brushing your skin or brushing your hair or brushing, cleaning your laptop. I mean, all kinds of crazy brushes. But this is really cool. It's by Tat Tat, and it's this Sacco, S-A-C-C-O, upright pouch for glasses in the color I chose for us is gray blue. So it's this like little beanbaggy kind of sack that you can toss anywhere and it lands upright, but it's a little sack that you keep on your desk to stick your glasses in. Because my glasses, I either can't find them or they get scratched and all kinds of stuff. And when I'm at my desk, I tend to not lean over and grab my glasses case and put them in and out. They tend to just lay on my desk and then other things get tossed on top of them. So this is a little sack that you keep on your desk. It stays upright and you can throw your glasses in it. And it feels really good in your hands. I think you will both like it. And I got you the same color that I just texted through in gray blue.
Oh my goodness, that is a amazingly good idea. And can I just say we're all old?
I know we are.
Because I totally,
we are all old.
I need this next to me so badly.
Well, I have it waiting for you here. I'll bring it to you next time I'm in town. I was trying to figure out if I should ship them or if we'll see each other soon. Hopefully we'll see each other soon. 2 hours away stinks.
So there are some themes emerging here.
old.
One, old.
and cold.
Two, wearables. Like, writers mm-hmm. like to be comfortable. And I did just see for the first time, but I have not bought them yet. And I'm a little bit like, early adopter might not be the right thing to do for this. But, you know, your beanie with a light, they now mm-hmm. also make Bluetooth earbuds in a, like, cozy headband.
Oh, that's interesting. I
just saw them in an audiobook forum on Facebook where everybody was exclaiming over how comfortable it was to put on this cozy headband and have that speaker right there. And
interesting.
Yeah. So I thought of you, but it was like a little bit too late. And again, mm-hmm. the price point was low. And I thought, I wonder if that could be any good at like $29.
Well, I use my little ear. I tend to use my AirPods, those little earbuds from Apple that, you know, are Bluetooth. Those I use a lot. And then on airplanes, I use my over-the-ear headphones. But I'm really curious about those. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What else you got, Serena?
Oh, well, I'm big on the way that the writing gets done on the page, right? So earlier this year, I gave you both a set of Pilot friction markers.
They're the best. And these are the best.
Yeah, well, I was so gratifying that you love them as much as I do. And friction is F-R-I-X-I-O-N. And the ink in these markers is very special for two reasons. One, it's erasable, which is totally bonkers. But the way that friction is erasable is not the same as like the way a pencil erases.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's not. And I thought it was going to be like those, you know, when we were in like middle school and those new erasable pens came out and they only kind of sort of erased.
Right.
These are different.
Yeah. So this ink, when you erase that kind of old fashioned one, you're actually rubbing the stuff off the page. But in this case, this ink lays down on the surface of the paper, and the way that you're getting rid of it is to create heat. So it's literally friction that's erasing it. So when it reaches
up... That's so clever! And why the pens are called what they're called!
Right?
Mind blown. Mind blown.
So when you erase it, as long as you didn't like somehow scratch too deeply, it comes off really cleanly. And
it comes off perfectly, like there's no hint of it left. It's amazing.
Right. And the other thing that this ink is special about is that it lays so close to the top of the page that you can use it on a thin notebook, like if you're a fan of Moleskine or something like that, where it has a lot of bleed because the paper's not that thick. These will not penetrate the page and give you that like ghosted image on the other side because of the way that ink sits there.
Well, and you gave us this small packet, and then I went and purchased, because I heard KJ purchased it, and of course, we got to keep up with KJ. I bought the expanded set of all the colors, and then here's my super dork thing that I did. Tim noticed this the other day when I was showing him my new, he was asking about the whole bullet journaling thing and how I use my notebook, and I showed him, and he said, wait a second, are those colors in your calendar coded in some way? And I was like, well, duh, of course they are. So the colors that I use in my calendar, so for example, anytime I write down something in my calendar that's a speaking engagement kind of situation, that's in green, because in my calendar on my computer, that calendar is in green. So I maintain the color code between my paper calendar and my computer calendar. I'm that level of dorkitude.
That is wonderful. I actually have my different series color coded. So my hockey series is purple and my Vermont series is green. And that way, if I'm flipping through my notebook and I'm looking for a note I made about one or the other, I can find it more quickly.
People, these colors are not random. Purple is the color of the Brooklyn Bruisers hockey kit. That's their team colors. Purple and white, right?
Yep.
And then green, obviously, for the Green Mountains of Vermont. So, oh my God, I thought my level of dorkitude was high, but clearly Serena is just besting me.
I just need my poor little brain to be able to find things and remember things. It, you know, you need a system. So,
well, and I've been emulating your system. I've been emulating your system, like, you know, your little labels for which thing you're working on and where they are in your book. And I mentioned that in a, I think, an upcoming podcast. I mentioned that, and where that'll come out in a little bit. But I actually took the different colors that you do. Like, she'll have, Serena will have, like, her notes for a given book or a given project set by a color, and then she color codes pages of her notebook in the same colors. It's so brilliant, and it helps you find everything. I guess you could always just use the index page, like which page number it starts on, but I love the color coding situation with the little tabs.
Yeah, I tend to do both, and the reason I do that is because I don't want to have to like set aside a third of my notebook to be one thing or right. another. I just want to use the next available page and then be able to sort myself out.
It's so smart. Because half the time I spend looking through my notebooks, I can't figure out where one thing starts and one thing finishes. And then I'm halfway through something and I start something else and then I can't find what's, yeah, it's your system works way better.
Yeah, been there.
I did something where I started something at the back. So the notes for my current book are coming from the front and the notes for the podcast are coming from the back.
Oh, that's interesting.
Not upside down, right. Just because... those typically aren't sequential. It's like, you know, a page of notes for an episode or a page of list of people that we're looking at for guests. So I'll just back up for the mm-hmm. podcast and I'll always know where to get that. Cause those are two things that I know will always
cool
be in there.
Right.
Well, I'm to the point now where the sections in my, the color coded sections in mine are, you know, the substance abuse book, and then the new project, new proposal I'm starting to work on, the podcast, and then other, so that I have these sections that I'm, you know, they're vague guesses for how much room I'll need for each. But I like Serena's idea where you don't even need to make vague guesses for how much you're going to need because it's just in different colors to begin with. That makes sense too.
Well, as long as we're on the topic of markers, I found a set, and I'm not recommending these exactly, except that I want them. And I've been okay. wanting them. And I actually thought that I had purchased them because they keep popping up in my Instagram ads. And I frequently, late at night, fall down an Instagram ad rabbit hole. But it turned out that I had not. And it also turned out that you can acquire them on Amazon, which is probably more efficient than the Instagram method, because what I've discovered about rolling down the Instagram rabbit hole is that the things are frequently shipped directly from China, and that's not a speedy process.
That also, that's what happened with that bird lamp that I bought that I hated and had to send back, and it had come from China and the company did not make it easy. And I don't know if it's because it came through Instagram. I don't know what the deal was, but it was a horrible experience.
Okay, small prop for Amazon, because then you could send it back and it's the same stuff. So anyway, they're outline pens. It's like a paint pen that also makes an outline around it. And it somehow... you can like make an X and the one that crosses over will cover the painted in the middle must cover the thing that goes as the outline. Anyway, they're very mesmerizing. If you should happen to see them, scroll by you on Instagram, and they come in plain and they come in glitter. And I just thought, I really want those.
Wait, when you say outline, do you mean highlight?
No.
What do you? I don't understand.
There's like a layer of paint, and then there's sort of a circle of ink around it.
Oh, that's fancy.
It's very fancy.
I only understood that because it also came through my Instagram too. Because of course it did.
Of course it did.
Yeah. All right.
I think we should KJ. Spend.
What?
Sorry, I was going to say, I think we should spend a moment on technology, because sometimes people make investments in their computing technology at this time of year.
I think that's brilliant. Okay.
And there are a couple new things, right? Like Jess just got the new 16-inch MacBook Pro.
Yeah. And we can definitely, I wasn't going to talk about that, but I think it's a really good time to do that. I think you're right. I was not going to get a new laptop. They're so expensive. But my husband pushed me on it because it's my entire office. I mean, if you think about it, you know, in the sense of what we do and the fact that I carry it with me everywhere. And my laptop was getting to the point where not only was I having issues with the keys, I was having issues with the ports, and Apple was offering a buyback program that made some sense. And so I have gone ahead and invested in a new laptop. And you told me something really interesting that I didn't even realize when I bought it, which is what, Serena?
That computer is the first one that has scissor keys again, which is like the old mm-hmm. style keyboard. Instead mm-hmm. of the butterfly, it's the butterfly that was causing all of the keyboard issues. So I was fascinated that this new machine came out with scissor keys, because if they then go on to use those keys on other models, then that will be wildly mm-hmm. exciting to me.
So far, I just got this thing yesterday or day before. My husband said that was he noticed a basic difference in the two of us in that I got the laptop in the mail and I did other stuff for 2 days and it just sat there in a sealed box. Whereas my husband would have been like ripping the box open the minute it came through the door. But it, you know, it's such a huge time sink to yes. do all the stuff you have to do in order to get ready. And I decided this time not to use my time capsule to just go ahead and migrate over, like to make my new laptop look just like my old one. I decided this time around to start from scratch and sort of just load up what I want loaded up and to try to be on the cloud and on Dropbox as much as possible so that all my stuff is available to me no matter where I am. And the reason I went for the big screen, by the way, is that the more I'm working away from my desk and the more my home computer is attached to this big display, the more I've realized that I'm willing to sacrifice a light laptop for a big, big screen, because I often have at least my document and my citation manager up at the same time. And the citation manager is often two separate windows, one that's importing resources and one that has my library of resources. And a small screen with three different things that you're trying to swap between and use in a fluid way is just really difficult. So I went for the bigger screen and sacrificed portability.
Also, or we're old.
Lightness. Also, we're old.
Well, on the technology front, I am just happened to test the brand new Apple Pencil with the new iPad Pro.
And?
Oh my goodness.
Now, explain why this is, because for me, this is not something I'm particularly interested in, but you work differently than I do. And why do you like a pencil?
Well, there are two apps, there might be three, but there's at least two apps in the iPad store that allow you to write in handwriting on the screen with the pencil and then convert it instantly to text.
So, and how well does that work?
It works surprisingly well. Like, okay. The cleanup factor is much less than with dictation that is, you know, like Dragon or any of those. Mm-hmm. So you'd be astonished. And the reason that it works so well is because the app actually watches your stroke. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if you end up with a good-looking word. Like, you can have really bad handwriting, but it actually watches the pattern of you. Like, the T is usually drawn across and then down, and then an H, you know. Hmm. So it knows what you were trying to write, even if you did a poor job of it. And if you're somebody who likes to write, and it gets you off that, you know, off your computer, then you can save lots of time by zapping it instantly into text. And so I do use this as like one of the tools in my arsenal for getting the words on the page. And the old Apple Pencil, which I have, of course, it's only 2 years old, feels like a stick of shiny granite in my hand now compared to the way that new pencil is more hexagonal, like a real pencil. And it also has a better texture and it's lighter.
And it charges more easily. Yes. The old one, in order to charge it, you have to stick it into the bottom of the iPad and leave it sort of precariously sticking out, just begging to be broken off. There has to be a better way, but I haven't found it.
Oh, well, I charge mine with the little doohickey.
Mine did not come with a charging
doohickey. Are you sure? It's like 3/4 of an inch long, and it's white, and it has a hole in one side that's shaped like the Apple Pencil charger thing, and like another one that hooks to a...
Yeah, that would have made enormous amounts of sense, and perhaps it was in the box and I did not find it, because the only way I can charge mine is to stick it in the iPad. So this has been a source of continual frustration. Well, and the new one just sticks magnetically on the side. So A, you have a place to put it, and B, it's charging.
Yeah, the new one is just heads and above.
It really is. So on the same note but different. Well, first of all, I tried the new one, and because I habitually write in all caps, what I wrote something like, gee, I really like this pencil, and it interpreted it as emoji, emoji, puppies, emoji.
Really?
So that was not going to be successful, although I could use a different version of my own. Like I can write not in all caps. So I'm still thinking about it. But one of the things that I'm wondering if I would do if I had the new iPad is I've been trying to draw more. I love to draw. I like visual art. And I've been spending more time with paper and with pens, but I used to draw on an early Mac, like, you know, Paint. Mm-hmm. And I loved doing it. So I actually signed up for a class in what's called vector drawing, which is drawing on the iPad using shapes, on Skillshare. So that's a thought for a gift that
that's
people
a good
might
idea.
Be interested in that is not a thing. It's a membership to something like Skillshare, which has a lot of different technology style classes. It also has classes created by podcasters in, you know, in writing or in creative side hustles and things like that. I haven't done the class yet, but I've done similar classes on Blueprint, which used to be Craftsy for knitting, actually. And they typically are really good and not very expensive. So a membership to one of those might make a really fun present for someone, or potentially for yourself. Just a thought.
Oh, interesting. I like it. Are we done with technology, Serena, or did you still have something to add?
KJ and I have been eyeing one more device, but we haven't ponied up. There's a couple, like, so everybody always wants, like, that magic bullet device out there, right?
Thing that writes the books for you?
Yes,
you mean
thing.
That device?
Well, KJ has mentioned trying and finding that it wasn't quite for her, the free write, which is
right.
Essentially a modern word processor. It only does the one thing. And
right.
I've been trying hers for a couple weeks, and I really like it, the getting off the laptop thing, but it doesn't have arrow keys.
Mm.
So you can't really revise as you go, which for me is kind of an issue. But
yeah, that's part of its claim. Like, they think that's a feature,
a plus,
not a bug.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, they don't want you to revise as you go. The idea is that you can get the words out.
Right.
So it's partly for the point of keeping your, you know, you're not on the internet, and yet your writing is going to you on the internet. And partly from a, you can only see, like, what, 6 or 7 lines of text?
Uh-huh.
And you can't go backwards. All you can do is delete.
Right. So these guys, that device costs about $500, which, you know, is not inexpensive. And they are just in development on a lighter, smaller, like, you know, improved version called the FreeWrite Traveler. And I actually plunked down the money for this in Indiegogo, you know, pre-production time. And they keep pushing the deadline back. So I'm now quite bearish on ever seeing this thing. But if they got it to work, you know, would improve on both the price point and the portability of the FreeWrite.
That's so interesting that you actually, that's so funny you say that, because the thing I really wanted to get you guys was a Kickstarter campaign thing that I wasn't able to get anymore, but I'm still going to, well, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you what it is, because I may still get it. So never mind.
Well, no, you can't do that because you did it to listeners.
I know. Okay,
you're
listeners.
Stuck.
I know. I messed up. Okay. All right. All right. Sari, I'm going to have KJ go next, and I'll look this thing up, and then I'll tell you what it is after KJ goes.
Well, like I said, I have been really, what I would like to do next year, and no doubt we'll hear more about this in my 2020 goals and my word of the year coming, you know, coming soon to a podcast near you. I would like to spend more time on visual art this year. And so I've been craving a couple of books on visual art. One is Finding Your Creative Voice from Lisa Congdon, who's been a podcast guest on lots of other podcasts, not us, but is a pretty well-known illustrator and sort of inspirational writer. That's not the right word for it, but someone who writes about creating art in the same way that some of our favorite people write about creating words. And then there's a set of watercolor paints that I have my eye on. So I'll pop a link to that into the show notes. And another book called A Field Guide to Color, which is about using those watercolor paints. And I happened to have stolen those last couple of items from a really fun gift guide by our friend Catherine Newman, which she is an enormous board game player. So she's got like all the board games reviewed and labeled, you know, and these are the ones that are great for this age, and these are the ones that are great for families, and these are the ones that we love. So if you know a board game fan, you're going to want to go to Catherine Newman's website, which is benandbirdie.com, and I'll link it in the show notes and take a look at her gift guide because there was all kinds of good stuff on there.
Nice. That's pretty cool. I have just sent you the link to the thing I was talking about, speaking of tech. So there's this woman, her name is Simone Giertz, and I love her because she is, she's an education just sort of superstar. She's a YouTube celebrity. She makes these, this is what she did for a long time, is she makes these robots that basically do things like, they're like useless, she calls them useless robots, I believe. And announced a couple of years ago, has done a couple of cool things recently. Recently, she turned her Tesla into the Truckla. I don't know if you saw the video, but there's a whole video online. They didn't have a truck yet, so she actually turned a brand new Tesla into a truck. She's just amazing. So she got on Kickstarter and she created this thing called the Everyday Calendar. And what it is it's a calendar where each month is listed at the top, and then underneath the name of the month are essentially dots that are the days of the month. And every day that you achieve a goal, touch the day, and it lights up. And so essentially, it would be like stickering, except you light up the little day when you have a stickered for the day. And so you can see in front of you in lights which days are dark and which days are light. And the days that are light are days that you stickered. And she'd made it because she was trying to do things like mindfulness practices and stuff like that. And it's something she invented herself. And she did this Kickstarter campaign for it. And so she has the backers, and the project is coming to life. And I'm hoping to get one for each of us. So there. Surprise,
it's super
ruined.
Cute.
It is very, very cool. And that will be in the show notes too. I'm also crazy about her because she did this very cool video that I'll put in the show notes about why it's important to make things like useless robots. And in the very, very last shot of the video, she turns to camera with a useless robot on her head. I think it's like a toothbrushing robot or something like that. And she's holding a copy of The Gift of Failure. So I happen to be
okay.
A massive fan of hers. So anyway.
I can see why.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Do I get to go? Is it me again?
You just went.
I know, but can I go again? Because that wasn't supposed to be on there. Okay. So the last thing that I want to put out there from my list today, my second to last actually, is we are all fans, or at least I'm a fan, of the book Dreyer's English. It is a wonderful book, and Benjamin Dreyer is hysterical. And if you do not follow him on Twitter, you should. But Dreyer's English was the wonderful grammar book that came out just this past year. And what is coming out soon is a game based on the grammar book called Stet. And it's Dreyer's English,
no
a game
way.
For language lovers, grammar geeks, and bibliophiles. And it's not out yet. It will be out in July 7th, 2020, but I'm putting it on the list for possible pre-orders because it looks, I've only seen a picture of it, obviously, but it looks pretty good. I'm so excited.
Neat.
A grammar game. Yay. All right. Who's next? We're running up against the end of time, but that's the end of actual time. I don't know. Who has more stuff on their list?
I have one last thing, but I want to be last.
Okay, I have one before last thing, which is that my collaborator, Elle Kennedy, just sent me these hilarious little notepads for the day when you're really, like, just done. There's four of them with a funny little illustration of a guy at his desk, like, literally drowning in one picture. The waves have reached his neck, and the caption is, "Everything is fine." And there's another one where he's lying on the floor beside his desk that says, "I'm not even trying anymore." And one where everything is on fire and he says, "This is my life now." And, you know, for the frustrated, you know, writer or publisher in your life, they're pretty much perfect.
Oh, good.
I like it. Glorious.
Yeah.
Well, my last thing is a plug for us. You can, as it happens, give a gift subscription to the Am Writing Podcast to a fellow writer. You could give it in the form of the gift of podcast, which would be just to give someone the ability to listen to the Am Writing Podcast by giving them a set of instructions if they're not yet a podcast listener. And that's something that Gretchen Rubin created. And it makes a super fun gift, actually, for everyone, because you can find a podcast that would suit anybody's interests. But you could also get a gift subscription to the Am Writing Podcast supporter subscription. So, you know, every week, as you all know, we send out our top five for writers. Last week was top five reference books for all novelists and three more for special occasions. And might I say, any of those would make a spectacular gift, but you can only see the list if you're an hashtag AmWriting supporter. And we send out other top fives. We've got a whole bunch lined up. Top five email subject lines, top five ways to make your readers laugh. And then we've got a whole bunch that we've already done. Top five BookBub secrets for authors. Top five holiday writing hacks. Top five steps to setting up your author presence on Amazon. It's good stuff. It's actionable. It's useful. It's a great gift for yourself. Or, you know, anybody else. Plus, it's lovely for us to be supported.
It is.
Thanks for that. I got to get smoother with that. I'm going to listen to some fun drive stuff on, you know, the public radios. So get a little more slick with my pitch there.
Do we want to end there and just wish everyone a wonderful week since we've run long and we won't talk about books today?
Absolutely.
All right.
Have a wonderful week.
Okay. Have a great week, you guys, and until next week, keep your butts in the chair and your head in the game. This episode of Hashtag AmWriting with Jess and KJ was produced by Andrew Perella. Our music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and performed by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their services because everyone, even creatives, should be paid for their work.